Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
For our scripture this evening, for the message, I invite you to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 8. This passage of scripture is one of the longer prayers in the Bible. It is given by Solomon on the occasion of the dedication of the temple, which he had built in Jerusalem. I want to begin reading at verse 20, which is kind of an introduction to the prayer. Chapter 20 of 1 Kings 8. The Lord has kept the promise he made. I have succeeded David, my father, and now I sit on the throne of Israel, just as the Lord promised. And I have built the temple for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. I have provided a place there for the ark, in which is the covenant of the Lord that he made with our fathers when he brought them out of Egypt. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel, spread out his hands toward heaven, and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants, who continue wholeheartedly in your way, you have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it, as it is today. Now, Lord God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, the promises you made to him when you said, you shall never fail to have a man to sit before me on the throne of Israel, if only your sons are careful in all they do to walk before me as you have done. And now, O God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David, my father, come true. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built? Yet give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy, O Lord my God. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day. May your eyes be open toward this temple night and day, this place of which you said, my name shall be there, so that you will hear the prayer your servant prays toward this place. Hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. When a man wrongs his neighbor and is required to take an oath, and he comes and swears the oath before your altar in this temple, then hear from heaven and act. Judge between your servants, condemning the guilty, and bringing down on his own head what he has done. Declare the innocent not guilty, and so establish his innocence. When your people Israel have been defeated by an enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn their back to you and confess your name, praying and making supplication to you in this place, temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land you gave to their fathers. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you And when they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you have afflicted them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel. Teach them the right way to live and send rain on the land you gave your people for an inheritance. When famine or plague comes to the land, or blight, or mildew, locusts, or grasshoppers, or when an enemy besieges them in any of their cities, whatever disaster or disease may come, and when a prayer or plea is made by any of your people Israel, each one aware of the afflictions of his own heart, and spreading out his hands toward this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place. Forgive and act. Deal with each man according to all he does, since you know his heart, for you alone know the hearts of all men, so that they will fear you all the time they live in the land you gave our fathers. As for the foreigner who does not belong to your people Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your name, for men will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm. When he comes and prays toward this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and do whatever the foreigner asks you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your own people Israel, and may know that this house I have built bears your name. When your people go to war against their enemies, wherever you send them, and when they pray to the Lord toward the city you have chosen and the temple I have built for your name, then hear from heaven their prayer and their plea and uphold their cause when they sin against you. For there is no one who does not sin. And you become angry with them and give them over to the enemy who takes them captive to his own land, far away or near. And if they have a change of heart in the land where they are held captive and repent and plead with you in the land of their conquerors and say, "We have sinned, we have done wrong, we have acted wickedly." And if they turn back to you with all their heart and soul in the land of their enemies who took them captive and pray to you toward the land you gave their fathers, toward the city you have chosen and the temple I have built for your name, then from heaven, your dwelling place, hear their prayer and their plea and uphold their cause and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Forgive all the offenses they have committed against you and cause their conquerors to show them mercy. For they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought out of Egypt, out of that iron smelting furnace. May your eyes be open to your servant's plea and to the plea of your people Israel. And may you listen to them whenever they cry out to you. For you singled them out from all the nations of the world to be your own inheritance, just as you declared through your servant Moses when you, O sovereign Lord, brought your fathers out of Egypt. When Solomon had finished all these prayers and supplications to the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, where he had been kneeling with his hands spread out toward heaven. He stood and blessed the whole assembly of Israel in a loud voice. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the examples of prayer that we have in your word. And we pray that this evening, in these few moments together, we can learn just a little bit more about the way that you desire for us to pray. So send your Holy Spirit to speak through your servant. You know his sins and weaknesses. But Father, you're able to overcome all of those things. You use the small and weak things to bring glory to yourself. And so I pray that your Spirit will work among us this evening to do great things because we trust in you. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Obviously, this evening, I'm going to talk about prayer. Of course, prayer is something that we do on other occasions than just our gathering in formal worship here. At least I assume that's true, that all of you pray in your homes and wherever you go. Prayer at times is a very intense, private, and personal experience between only you as individuals and the Lord. Prayer may be too private sometimes to even include your spouse, whom the Bible says is one flesh with you. Sometimes it might be that private, but that can't be a regular practice, I hope, in your family. Prayer at other times is an expansive, congregational, or even global affair involving many people, uniting their thoughts and hearts together as one. In fact, May the 7th, how many days ago that is, we had a national prayer day. And there were something like 57,000 groups that were gathering together during that period of time for prayer. And so there are just all kinds of varieties of ways that we can go in this matter of prayer. And sad to say, there probably are times during public worship than when prayer can degenerate into little more than an experience of collective daydreaming, where many sort of lull off to sleep. Now, I hope that doesn't happen here this evening. I hope you've all had a good nap this afternoon and you can stay awake during our prayer time. Prayer ought to be a genuine, intentional, meaningful meeting together with the Lord by His people, whether in individuals or groups or whatever. Prayer should be meeting with the Lord. Now, there are many different kinds of prayers which we use in public, several of which occur from time to time in our worship services here. One familiar way of describing some of what prayer, whether public or private, might be, involves the use of what we call an acronym. You know what an acronym is? Well, I'll tell you. Most of you know. It's a word the letters of which begin other words that describe what we're talking about. Today, I want to use the familiar acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S, to describe prayer. A, those letters in the acronym stand for prayers of A, adoration, C, confession, T, thanksgiving, S, supplication, ACTS. I think it's a helpful tool to use in our prayers. Now, those various components can be used to make one prayer, such as a congregational prayer, or you could maybe use just one of them and say, I'm going to just focus on adoration tonight, and maybe tomorrow I'll use confession or whatever. You know, there's all kinds of varieties of ways in which we can use that ACTS acronym in our praying. Now, we could turn to many psalms and use them as inspired and inspiring models to help us in our prayers. In fact, I would suggest that occasionally you do that. Just open to the book of Psalms and pick a psalm and read maybe a verse or two and then pray about that verse or those two verses and then go on to the next verse. And, just that'll expand the topics that you're praying about. I suggest you start with Psalm 119. You know, that'll take you a little bit of time. That'll be an extended prayer time. 176 verses, I think. No, don't start with Psalm 119. But anyway, that's just a way to maybe help you in your variety and breadth of praying to the Lord. For the message this evening, I've chosen one of the many prayers in the Bible, 1 Kings 8. I read that. And in this prayer, Solomon offered it to the Lord in appreciation, in thanks to the Lord for the privilege of building that magnificent temple of worship, the temple there in Jerusalem. And, of course, that was a very unique and special occasion. But I think in Solomon's prayer, we can pick out all of the parts described in the ACTS acronym. And so that's what I'm going to do this evening. Just, something to sort of whet our appetites, maybe, to use that acronym in our praying. A, adoration. The theme of adoration is an essential part of our prayers. It's a time of expressing how we love and adore the Lord for His blessings to us, the ways in which He has enriched our lives as we seek to serve and honor Him. Adoration involves turning up our thoughts to God for who He is, exalting and honoring Him. We see this expressed by Solomon in his prayer. Let me just point out a few of the verses that I think show us how Solomon shows his adoration for the Lord. Verses 23 and 24 to begin with. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on the earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants, who continue wholeheartedly in your way. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it as it is today. Solomon says, among other things, God, you are unique. No one like you. You're altogether separate. There's no one like our God anywhere on earth or in the vast expanse of the heavens. No equal. Every other gods are false and imitations, cheap imitations. Our God also, Solomon mentions here, has established His incredible faithfulness to His promises. Verse 27 tells us that God is infinite, omnipresent, certainly not limited to one specific location. No matter how magnificent may be the building constructed to honor Him. There probably has been very few buildings, if ever any building, equal to that building that David had built. Listen to what he says in verse 27. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built. In verse 29, we learn that God never sleeps. We learn that He can hear and respond to simultaneous prayers of people, regardless of how widely they are spread out over the earth. Verse 29, may your eyes be open toward this temple, night and day. This place of which you said, my name shall be there, so that you will hear the prayer your servant prays toward this place. God watches over his people. In Psalm 121, we read in verses 3 and 4, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Now, I just want to tell you, we are the new Israel. So he watches over us too. I mean, this is not just Old Testament. This is true for us today. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he didn't sleep back then, he doesn't sleep today either. He doesn't need to sleep like you and I do. Verse 39 informs us that God is forgiving. He is all-knowing, especially with respect to the hearts of all people, even though the Lord is fully aware of the absolute sinfulness of all of our hearts, he reaches out to us in mercy. Verse 39. Forgive and act. Deal with each man according to all he does, since you know his heart. For you alone know the hearts of all men. So much for the A, adoration. Second letter is C. A C is for confession. Confession involves humble and open admission that we have sinned against the Lord. Solomon does this all through this prayer. It just, everywhere he goes. But anyway, listen to verses 33 to 40. When your people Israel have been defeated by an enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back to you and confess your name, praying and making supplication to you in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land you gave to their fathers. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain, because your people have sinned against you, and when they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you have afflicted them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel. Teach them the right way to live and send rain to the land you gave your people for an inheritance. When famine or plague comes to the land, or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, or when an enemy besieges them in any of their cities, whatever disaster or disease may come, and when a prayer or plea is made by any of your people Israel, each one aware of the afflictions of his own heart and spreading out his hands toward this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place, forgive and act. Deal with each man according to all he does, since you know his heart, for you alone know the hearts of all men, so that they will fear you all the time they live in the land you gave to their fathers. And then verses 46 to 51, further on in the psalm. When they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and give them over to the enemy who takes them captive to his own land, far away or near. And if they have a change of heart in the land where they are held captive and repent and plead with you in the land of their conquerors and say, we have sinned, we have done wrong, we have acted wickedly. And if they turn back to you with all their heart and soul in the land of their enemies who took them captive and pray to you toward the land you gave their fathers, toward the city you have chosen and the temple I have built for your name, then from heaven, your dwelling place, hear their prayer and their plea and uphold their cause. And forgive your people who have sinned against you. Forgive all the offenses they have committed against you and cause their conquerors to show them mercy. For they are your people and your inheritance whom you brought out of Egypt, out of that iron smelting furnace. Solomon's confession in this prayer is very general because it's on behalf of all of the people of Israel. However, often our public confession needs to be more specific, and certainly our private prayers should be specific as we admit particular sins that we have committed. In 1 John 1, 9 and 10, we are assured that God hears and answers our prayers of confession by forgiving us through the blood of Jesus. Now, if you missed the fact that God forgives in all of these verses I read here, there's something wrong with your ears, because it happens over and over again. But in 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, we read there, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, because he said we do sin. We make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. T for Thanksgiving. In a sense, Thanksgiving, I think, is very similar to adoration. But it involves a response of gratitude to God for his abundant blessings. In verses 24 and 53, Solomon was truly thankful for all the Lord had done for the people of Israel. And of course, it's all through this prayer, but just those two verses. He says in verse 24, you have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it as it is today. And then in verse 53, for you singled them out. He's talking about the children of Israel. You singled them out from all the nations of the world to be your own inheritance, just as you declared through your servant Moses when you, O sovereign Lord, brought our fathers out of Egypt. And there is an implied thankfulness in Solomon's words, even for foreigners, the Gentiles. Listen to verses 41 to 43. As for the foreigner who does not belong to your people Israel, but has come from this land because of your name, for men will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, when he comes and prays toward this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your own people Israel, and may know that this house I have built bears your name. In Philippians 4:6, the Apostle Paul commands us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The final letter of our acronym is S, which signifies the word supplication. Supplication means to humbly and earnestly appeal and ask for something. It involves begging God for his merciful and gracious response to our situation of desperate need of something that we have no way of providing for ourselves. We're stuck. We're helpless. We're in desperate need. Solomon's prayer here in 1 Kings 8 is full of supplication. Notice just two of the examples, verses 28 to 30. I have tried not to duplicate these readings, but it's almost impossible because these things are woven so tightly together in this prayer of Solomon. But verse 28, yet give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy, O Lord my God. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day. May your eyes be opened toward this temple night and day, this place of which you said, my name shall be there, so that you will hear the prayer your servant prays toward this place. hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. Now notice, he says, when the people pray toward this place, you don't have to go to Jerusalem. You can just pray toward that place, and that place was God's residence. Well, God is everywhere. So look up, look out, whatever. Pray to the Lord. He will hear. Verse 52, one more. May your eyes be open to your servant's plea and to the plea of your people Israel. And may you listen to them whenever they cry out to you. This is a desperate situation that Solomon is talking about here. A crying out to the Lord, begging on your knees, however. Obviously, we must realize that Solomon, in these occasions of pleading and begging God, he's not telling God what he ought to do, what he has to do, but the king rather is humbly pleading on God's promises and is appealing to God's love and mercy. And we should have that same attitude when we enter our pleas to the Lord for his grace and mercy toward us. An additional aspect of prayer, which is often shown by attaching another S to the ACTS acronym, you can either A-C-T-S-S or A-C-T-S squared. You mathematicians, you'll know what I mean by that. That adds a little bit to it, you know. That's not just another S, that's squaring the S. But anyway, that's my engineering background coming out. Okay, that other S is surrender. Surrender. Now, this idea may not specifically be spelled out in any one verse, although I think it is. But anyway, it's very evident throughout the entire prayer that Solomon and the people are surrendering their wills and whatever happens in their lives to the power of the Lord. Solomon says over and over again that even the sufferings, the defeats, the famines, all of the problems that come across the paths of their lives, all of those things are instruments of God to bring people back to true faith and obedience, to turn them away from their sins. The king's desire is that he and the people will be faithful in their service to their loving God. Solomon gives himself and the people over into the hand of the Lord. Now we see this in some of the verses that follow his prayer, verses 58 and 61. Solomon is talking about the Lord here. He says, may he turn our hearts to him, to walk in his ways, and to keep the commands, decrees, and regulations he gave to our fathers. And then verse 61, but your hearts must be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by his decrees and obey his commands as at this time. As we come together as God's people, may we give our attention more fully to earnest, humble prayers. May we adore our wonderful, majestic, loving God, confessing that we are his sinful creatures and thanking him for his mercies in spite of our sinfulness, in spite of our rebellion. He is blessing us in answer to our supplications for ourselves and for others. And through it all, may we fully surrender and submit ourselves to his loving and just rule over us as our King. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank you for teaching us how to live for you. We confess that we don't know, even though we should. But we pray that you will look down upon us in mercy and love, even as Solomon tells us over and over again that you will. And we pray, Father, that we may be those who love you, who reach out to you, who are just voluminous in our thanks to you for the blessings that you shower upon us. And may we be unceasing in our surrender to you, our obedience and willingness to follow in your ways. So bless us that we may go forth to be a blessing to those around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.